Kachit.
What?
Twayi.
Unto you.
Uchita.
Proper.
Bhaktihi.
Devotional service.
Kidrishi.
What kind?
Mama.
By me.
Gochara.
Fit to be practiced.
Yaya.
By which?
Padam.
Feet.
Te.
Your.
Nirvanam.
Liberation.
Anjasa.
Immediately.
Anvashnava.
Anvashnavai.
Shall attain.
Aham.
I.
On hearing this statement of the Lord, Devahuti inquired, what kind of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? Purport. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that no one is barred from rendering service to the Lord, whether one is a woman or a laborer or a merchant. If he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, he is promoted to the highest perfectional state and goes back home, back to Godhead. The devotional service most suitable for different types of devotees is determined and fixed by the mercy of the spiritual master. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tathati Shapanantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna, Karana Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi, Radhe Brindavaneshari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha ko pitrubhyascha kripa sindho bhyevata patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Devahuti Uvacha, Kachit Tvayuchita Bhakti Kidrishi Mamagochara, Yaya Padam Te Nirvanam, Anjasa Anvashnava Aham. Kachit tayuchita bhakti. What kind of devotional service will be uchita, most suitable? The devotional service is concluded to be the right thing. Now, what kind of devotional service will be most suitable for attaining the result quickly and easily? This is a suitable question to inquire from the spiritual master. How do I make advancement? How do I attain the goal quickly and easily. Uchita bhakti, what means of devotional service will be most suitable? To establish the most suitable means of devotional service is the mission of the authorized acharya. He presents the science of Krishna in a suitable way according to the time, the place, and the circumstances. Very suitably for Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personality of Godhead, has appeared and emphasized the chanting of the holy name. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatirangata. And by his practical example, he's shown how to execute devotional service. He's also instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, especially, to explain how to follow the path of devotional service. But even that, those instructions have been more or less inaccessible. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world and presented the instructions in such a way that they could be practically followed. How to adjust, how to maintain the standard. How to present everything in such a way that the substance would be maintained. And still adjustments, whatever adjustments were required, could be made according to the country, according to the people. Srila Prabhupada was empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do that. And therefore he did it. Before Srila Prabhupada, no one successfully undertook that project. And Srila Prabhupada did it and was wonderfully successful. And in our society, we're following what Srila Prabhupada, or our business is to follow, we hope we're following, what Srila Prabhupada established. About Srila Rupa Goswami, it said, Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. He established what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had in mind. Similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada established what Srila Rupa Goswami had in mind. The essence of devotional service, given in such a way that people would actually do it and not just talk about it. Or they would do it in an authorized way and not simply make a show. After the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were so many people performing devotional service or bhakti, love, devotional, they were showing devotional love. But their devotional love was not according to the authorized process. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchatra Vidim Vina. Akantiki Harir Bhakti Rutpataya Eva Kolpate. So-called devotional service that doesn't follow the Shruti, Smritis, the Puranas, the Panchatra, Narad Panchatra. It's just a disturbance. People come and establish some idea of devotional service, they make something for spreading divine love, but they don't follow the directions of the Shastras, and therefore it lacks authority. So Srila Prabhupada established this movement on the basis of so many books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Ishopanishad, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, to give the authorized science of Krishna. and he adjusted as required. There were no Tulsi beads when Srila Prabhupada first came. Go to the hardware store and buy some beads. Chant Hare Krishna. Tulsi or not Tulsi, chant Hare Krishna, it's Tulsi. In this way, because Tulsi was not to be found in the West, so Prabhupada adjusted. But the essential thing, the chanting of Hare Krishna and serving Krishna, Srila Prabhupada introduced and established uchita in a very suitable way. Srila Prabhupada was the authorized expert for presenting the how to serve Krishna. Kachit tayuchita bhakti kidrishi mama gochara yaya padam te nirvanam andrasa. Andrasa means easily or quickly. In America we say bottom line, bottom line. Let's get to the bottom line. So Devahuti wants to know, how can I very easily? The sages of Naimisharanya ask the same question. Andrasayusman, what is that verse? In the Andrasayusman, they ask Sutta Goswami the same question. How is it that in Kali Yuga we can very easily or very swiftly attain success? We're here doing a 1,000-year fire sacrifice, but we're not making a lot of progress. Our faces are getting nice and black from the smoke, but we don't feel like we're making rapid advancement in spiritual life. So you please give us your Prabhupada said, made easy opinion. You tell us how we can easily attain the goal of devotional service or the goal of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada translates this verse very interestingly. Yada padam te nirvanam anjasa anvashnavaham. How can I easily attain liberation at your lotus feet? But Srila Prabhupada very pointedly says, how can I attain the service of your lotus feet? Because liberation means service. Or attaining the lotus feet of the Lord means service. Padam also means the place. So attaining Krishna's place or attaining a place at Krishna's lotus feet doesn't mean going on vacation. In some, there's a sort of a popular religious idea that you if you're pious, if you're godly, God-fearing, you die and you go to heaven, then what's in heaven? It's a nice place. You kind of have a good time there. But, you know, subdued, moderate good time, but you have a good time. You can play harp a lot. Anyway, it's nice there. You'll enjoy in heaven. Some other religious systems, they have the idea that you go to heaven and there are nice girls there and you can have kind of a better time than the more sedate concept would allow. But anyway, you go to heaven and enjoy the fruits of your piety. But this is not the conception of pure devotional service. In the Karmakanda system, that may be available. You perform pious activities, you go to one of the higher planets like Indraloka, and there's all the good stuff for you. The luscious girls, the beautiful scenery, the long lifetime, whatever it is that we think of as being enjoyable, it's all there on Indraloka. And you can enjoy for a long time, thousands and thousands of years. And then punyekshine marchalokam vishanti. When your pious activities, pious credit is used up, then you come back down to earth, and you're back to square one. You start over again. So, katagatam kama kama labhante. This is temporary. One comes and goes, comes and goes. So this conception of heaven is different from the conception of Goloka Vrindavan, or the eternal abode of Krishna. What goes on in the abode of Krishna? It's not a place for eternal enjoyment of whatever one wants to do independently in the liberated state. It's better than that. It's the place where everyone gets to engage in devotional service to Krishna. The idea of heavenly enjoyment for oneself is just a more grandiose idea of sense gratification. And the idea of impersonal liberation is zero. It's got nothing going for it. And a vague idea of just hanging out in heaven is, first of all, rather boring. And second of all, godless. You know, God's up there someplace, but you've got your own establishment. We see in some missionary literature the little house is there, the white picket fence is there, the dog is there, and you're there. It's a kind of elevated suburbia in the spiritual world. But we understand from Srimad Bhagavatam that Goloka Vrindavan is the place where everyone gets to serve Krishna. Savai pumsam paro bhaktir yato savai pumsam then paro dharma yato bhaktir dhokshade haituki apratiyataya yatma supersedati. The real business of the living entity is service. That's the constitutional position of the living being, which is why we're all serving in the material world. Much as we'd like to talk about doing something other than serving, we're all serving. The politician serves the people, the man serves his wife, the wife serves the husband, the shopkeeper serves the customer. We all serve our senses. Everyone's serving. Because that's the business of the living being. The business of the living being, his natural function, what he does by his very nature, is serve. So the spiritual world is the place where everyone serves the ultimate object of service, Krishna. And therefore, yayatma supersedati. It's the place where everyone is fully satisfied. In the material world, we're all busy searching for satisfaction, and we're all achieving dissatisfaction. We're spending more money for our satisfaction, or we're working harder for satisfaction, we're accumulating more things for satisfaction, but finally we're not satisfied by intellectual pursuits, by cultural pursuits, by aesthetic pursuits, by whatever kind of pursuit. We're not satisfied. Yayatma supersedati, but the soul becomes satisfied when he's engaged in the service of Krishna, because that's his natural position. That's the natural fit for the living entity. That's what he's meant for. And therefore, he becomes praharshi yashyami, sanata jivita. He becomes truly joyful. Not joyful because he's got something to enjoy, but joyful because he's now in his constitutional position of giving enjoyment to Krishna. There are different relationships. Someone is serving as in the relationship of master and servant, someone friend and friend, someone parent and child, someone lover and beloved. And these appear to be like relationships for enjoyment. In the material world, that's what we have. We serve someone, everyone's looking for a job. But it's not because we want to satisfy our employer. It's because we want to get money to enjoy. we say, I love my job, I love working for these people, but if they don't pay me, goodbye. That means I'm actually working for my own satisfaction. We have relationships of friend and friend, but those relationships are also conditional. They're, again, a kind of a business deal, that I'll do something for you, you do something for me. And even parent and child, the parents want to get something out of the children, and the children want to get something out of the parents. And lover and beloved is another kind of business deal with a 50% failure rate. A lot of going out of business. Liquidation. Why liquidation? Because the partners disagree about, and they bitterly disagree sometimes. But it's all about me. I want this. You promised me that. I'm not happy. I never expected. Da 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 da. It's all about what's going to make me happy. And if it doesn't make me happy, goodbye. Well, that's called material. Everyone is... although we extend ourselves to our friends, to our employers, to our children, to our beloved or lover, what we're really doing is making an extended arrangement for sense gratification. But in the spiritual world, that mentality is no longer to be found. It's left behind in the material world. And in pure consciousness, the devotees of Krishna have no other desire but to please Krishna. It's not a show. I make a great show of devotion and then I'll get something. It's genuine. They have no other desire than to please Krishna. So the question, as Srila Prabhupada puts it, is very suitable. How can I very easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? How can I serve you? This is the question. Then everything else will automatically be there. We don't have to separately, how will I get food? How will I eat? How will I satisfy my senses? How will I this? How will I that? Krishna bhakti koilo sarva karma kritohai. Just by performing devotional service. Everything else is taken care of. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to think about that. I don't have to perform devotional service, so I'll get that. All I have to do is perform devotional service and not worry about so many this, that, other considerations. Then every individual devotee has a particular way to serve Krishna. In the spiritual world, that's a fact, and in the material world also, it's a fact. Everyone has some suitable duty. Everyone has some appropriate engagement. And under expert guidance, one can be properly situated so that one can very nicely serve the Lord and the spiritual master and make progress in devotional service. It's open to everyone. No one is barred. So this is our real business in life, to serve Krishna. All right. Are there some questions? Comments?
You mentioned in the first talk about how the acharya comes and he makes the service suitable for time and circumstance.
Okay. Hare Krishna. That the acharya comes, he makes the devotional service suitable for time and circumstance so that people can take it up widely. Now, we're almost 40 years down the line in ISKCON, and some of the things that Srila Prabhupada instituted, you mentioned the don't have to worry about Tulsi beads. I was thinking about the feast, say, on Gaur Purnima. We know now that it's supposed to be an Ekadashi feast, And yet in 1972, someone went to Hawaii, probably, you know, when he was in the West, he didn't insist on that. How do we institute, or is there a tension set up there between things that we now know we should do, but that Prabhupada instituted for time and circumstance? You understand?
Yes. The first thing is that one should be reluctant to change. There's anyone who wants to see a nice set of quotations about this subject matter can look on Jagadish Ananda Prabhu's door. He's got several of them posted there. And your American disease is always you want to change. So we should be reluctant to change. It's very easy to make a change. Another change, another day change, every day another change, and pretty soon there's nothing left. It's all been changed. So we should be reluctant to change. We should be reluctant to change, lest we lose everything. Now, on the other hand, if you never change anything, then you're frozen. Then you can never respond to any changing circumstance. You can never address any current issue. You can never deal with anything except what you've seen in the past. And the only way you can deal with it is the way it was dealt with in the past. So you become quickly frozen and irrelevant because time has passed you by. And that essentially happened with Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy and culture before Srila Prabhupada. It was going on, but it was not, the world couldn't have cared less because there was nothing presented that the world could grasp onto and make use of or understand. So then some change is required in tactic, how to present it suitably. So that requires discretion. That requires purity. You know, those two things especially. That requires discretion, that requires purity, and that requires that one be a sincere follower of the spiritual master, the sadhus, and the shastras. If one has no discretion, then he shouldn't do anything. He should just follow someone who does. That was there in some letter to a girl in Los Angeles, I think. The Prabhupada said, use your intelligence. And if you don't have any, ask someone who does. So if we don't have discretion, then at least this much discretion we should have to know that we don't have discretion and just not mess. It requires discretion. Then purity. I'm not even chanting 16 rounds a day. I'm not even following 4 regulative principles, and I'm ready to change and change and change and change. Huh? Someone said that he says this is a mistake. He is a mistake. If we don't follow the principles of purity, then we'll mess up. We'll mess up. Again, not qualified. Anya bilashita shunyam, jnana karma adhyana avritam, anakulyena krishna anushilinam, bhakti uttama. Anya bilashita shunyam. We should have no other business than devotional service. Not, I've got some motive, if I change this, I can get that. If we're infested with material motives, then we'll do things, try to change things in such a way that we get something out of it at the expense of others. That means we're not thinking of Krishna, we're thinking of our own temporal, stupid, contaminated goals in life. So then again, unfit to change anything. The only change is for our comfort, so-called. Krishna consciousness is not meant to be adjusted for our sense gratification and our material motives. So one has to be pure. That means one actually has to be thinking about serving the spiritual master and benefiting others. The pure devotee is always thinking of how to do something for the benefit of others. And Prabhupada gave the example that when there's a fire in the house, somehow or other, the neighboring residents get the message across, or you get your message across to the neighboring residents. But somehow or other, it doesn't matter. There's no stereotype. You've got to do this, 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 this. Somehow or other, the urgent thing is you've got to get that message across that there's a fire. And Srila Prabhupada said that was the spirit in which he presented Srimad Bhagavatam, although in an unfamiliar language and so on. So one has to have the motive to serve Krishna and the motive to give Krishna to others. Then with that consciousness, one says, well, if people are going to take this, I have to do this. Not changing everything. But using discretion, using purity, and following the directions of the bona fide acharya, following the directions of the shastras, so that again one doesn't come up with another concoction, it becomes unrecognizable.
Yeah, that just reminds me. That one time I was sent this quote that was given by Giriraj Maharaj concerning this particular situation where Prabhupada was very ill, and in the middle of the night he was called into Prabhupada's room. He came in very disheveled and disoriented from sleeping deeply. So then Prabhupada was in his bed, and he asked Giriraj Maharaj, like, what's going to happen with this movement when I leave? How will this movement go on? So Giriraj Maharaj, he immediately answered, according to a typical devotee response, "No, don't worry, Prabhupada. We're just going to, you know, we're going to distribute your books. We're going to chant Hare Krishna. You know, we're going to really." Those are the two things I remember, he said. There was something else that I don't recall, so I don't want to say. But anyway, Prabhupada, according to him, said no. He said, it'll only go on by organization and cooperation. So that was a little bit of a startling response, because our natural tendency would be to think, well, yeah, you have to chant Hare Krishna. I mean, how else is anything going to go on? You have to follow the four regulative principles and distribute the books. But Prabhupada somehow said no. Now, I'm not going to say I understand what that means, but he did say cooperation and organization. So when you think of those two things, it implies that there has to be some type of ongoing realization or understanding of Krishna consciousness.
Pranache yar she hetu prachar. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, one who has life, he can preach. Not just that it's dum da dum da dum da dum da dum. Whatever was done 25 years ago, we're still doing that, and we don't even think about it. We just do it. You go to some places, they're still preaching to the hippies of the 1960s. You know, the ghosts of the 1960s hippies who no longer exist anywhere in this material world. They're still preaching to those people.
Yes.
You know, stay high forever. And I haven't noticed that people have different concerns, a different language. You know, they have different language, they have different concerns, they have a different environment, they have different pastimes. You know, they're not listening to 33 and a third long playing RPM, 33 and a third long playing records anymore. If anyone's ever seen one. The whole environment has changed. So then it requires that we, as Prabhupada said, strain our brains. Exercise our brains. How to get across the message to the people in the present environment.
Not to imply that we don't take seriously the chanting of Hare Krishna.
No.
And the four regulative principles and distributing of Prabhupada's books.
Prabhupada's phrase was, old wine in a new bottle. You can't change the wine. If you change the substance, then you're useless. You blew it. you've spoiled everything. If you change the message, if you change the substance, you've become worthless. But the package can change. You know, our books may not look, the covers may not look in the year 2000 the way they looked in 1965. So many things may differ. Not that we have to say, well, we have to design everything to look like it did back then.
One more point. I'll just ask you a question. Sometimes there's this, you might say attitude or idea that, you know, I love Srila Prabhupada and I'll do anything for Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if I really know Krishna or what Krishna's about, but I really love Prabhupada because he was very kind and loving, and he'll save me. But my point being is that sometimes we hear about people just wanting to surrender to Srila Prabhupada, and that's it, more or less.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
But then, who is Srila Prabhupada? You know, is he like just a kind of a very kind and very nice Indian gentleman? Or did he have something to say?
Yeah, that's my point, man.
You know? You see a guy down with, you know, hair down to his butt and dressed like 1960s Haight Ashbury. You know, I just want to love Srila Prabhupada. Well, great, but, you know, did he say anything? Did he have a message? Did he have some standards? If we follow Srila Prabhupada, then certain, that's fine. If we love Srila Prabhupada, if we follow Srila Prabhupada, what do we know about Krishna? Who is Krishna? What access do we have? Well, that's fine. If you feel you're only qualified to approach Srila Prabhupada, then approach him. It's not sentimental that, you know, Prabhupada is like an icon. You know, he's just a murti. You know, it's like a shape, a picture, but he doesn't have anything to say. One time Srila Prabhupada came from Hawaii to New York. There had been a newspaper article. Prabhupada liked the headline, "The Swami is a small man, but he has got a big message." Prabhupada considered the message to be essential. You know, I just want to be Prabhupada's disciple. Well, read his book, moron. Evam pram pra praptam imam rajarshiyo. You know, read the books and see what he said. And then be Prabhupada's disciple the right way, not just by mental concoction that, you know, I give myself a name and I'm Prabhupada's disciple. Read the books and do it right. It's not sentimental. Prabhupada said that so many times, that it's not a sentimental thing. It's a scientific process. That's why he wrote so many books. And he said, they're for us to read, not just to sell, but to read and understand. And not just to collect folio hits from. You know, you collect folio hits and you can construct almost any argument you want. But actually we have to read the books, understand the books by patiently nityam bhagavata sevaya, by service, by hearing in the association of devotees, by following the rules and regulations. Then we'll get something out of these books. It's not simply that they're a wonderful thing to make arguments from. No one goes back to Godhead that way. Yes. Well, this microphone is headed your way.
Maharaj, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says the devotional service most suitable for different types of devotees is determined and fixed by the mercy of the spiritual master. I was wondering if you could explain that especially within the context of the ISKCON institution, in which, unlike the traditional protocol, the gurus don't have full absolute freedom and control over their disciples.
Well, first of all, the simple explanation Prabhupada gave someplace is that the spiritual master gives different duties. He says, you're fit for working in the kitchen department. You should work in the book distribution department. You should work in the deity department. That's the basic idea of what it means, that there are different types of duties. Then that's fixed by the mercy of the spiritual master, but the spiritual master may not do it directly. When physically present, Srila Prabhupada did not directly fix the duties of 5,000 disciples. He really didn't. But he had a system for fixing the duties of 5,000 disciples. Some of the disciples, he would directly say, you do this, you do this, you do this. And many of the disciples, he would say, such and such is your temple president, so you may consult him and in that way. Or consult with your GBC man, such and such is your GBC. Prabhupada would deflect so many letters. So for this I have created a GBC, da-da-da-da-da. You may consult such and such. That's also the mercy of the spiritual master. ISKCON is also Prabhupada's mercy. You get up and walk across the street and there's Mangal Arati at 4:30. Why is there Mangal Arati at 4:30? Well, first of all, because Prabhupada said there should be, following the previous authorities. He said there should be. And then there's a batch of people who make sure that it happens, who are interested in seeing that Prabhupada's instructions are followed. We don't get Mangal Arati because Prabhupada comes and wakes up the pujari and gets it all happening. It's because there's some people following Srila Prabhupada and carrying out his instructions. So by their mercy, we get his mercy. Why is ISKCON going on? Why do you come and get, prasadam and darshan and class and association of devotees and the other benefits that are to be found, Tulsi and Tulsi Puja and so many things, books. Why is it there? It's there because people who are serving Prabhupada are seeing to it that it's there. And that by that system, Prabhupada's mercy is extended. By the mercy of our godbrothers and godsisters, we get Prabhupada's mercy. By the mercy of our seniors, we get Prabhupada's mercy. And for generations and generations, it can go on. The people can get Prabhupada's mercy from people who are distributing Prabhupada's mercy. That's called parampara. Is that okay? And of course, then we have to know what Prabhupada wanted. Not simply that we claim authority because I'm such and such an ISKCON or because I'm following Prabhupada. Shine up my brass and play authority. But I actually have to know. What did Prabhupada teach? What did Prabhupada establish? And I actually have to cooperate with others. I may not know everything. I can ask others. What did Prabhupada say about this? What did Prabhupada say about that? What do you understand the Prabhupada wanted when he instructed this? And cooperatively carry on. Humbly? Chanadapi shunichena. Not that I'm the master of everyone, but our business is to serve. One time Prabhupada was explaining about the four varnas. For Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. First class man, second class man, third class man, fourth class man. And someone from the audience said, what class are you? And Prabhupada said, I'm fifth class because I'm serving all the other four. So our business is to be servant.
Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayo, Dasa Dasa Anudas. Prabhupada said, every time you add Das, your position is up one. Anything else? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna.